We've been talking about a subject that you never hear much of, and that is the process of developing our inward man. Now, in the past, we've used the term spirit only as referring to our inward man, but really our inward man is soul and spirit. And we brought out the real you is soul, but you are housed in a spirit, and you live in an earthly tabernacle, which is your body. And we've covered that quite well. Now, we brought out that when a person gets born again, he's circumcised in his heart in the spirit. And that's where Romans chapter 2 brings that very clearly to us, that circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. And a lot of people don't understand what circumcision literally means, but there was an Old Testament type of circumcision, which was referring to the cutting away of flesh. And that's basically the same type that carries over into the New Testament, that your inward man was literally circumcised or separated from that which was physical. And in that process, God made you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And that no matter what nationality you were, no matter how you were brought up, no matter where you were brought up, still the divine essence of God's nature literally entered your human spirit, and it was born again. That's why the Bible says you must be born from above. This was a process that had not been done to the Old Testament believer. That's why his sins would be continually carried on and on and on, with no way of literally destroying sin in his life until he just chose, out of just the energy of his own flesh, he chose to worship and serve God. That's why there was only a remnant that was really saved. And thank God for David, because David entered into a spiritual position with God that very few had entered into in the Old Testament, and that is to find the heart of God. But you see, David sought after God more than any other man as well. You know, the Bible is very clear on that. And so, as a result, in the Psalms, David made a lot of startling statements about the issue of a man's soul. Now, you've got to understand that in the Old Testament believer, he didn't see man as a tripart being. He saw man more unified as one being, as one person. And that's why a lot of them Hebrew words are translated that way. But to carry on now about this developing of our inward man, what Jesus had to do is that he had to resurrect himself into newness of life, so that him being the firstborn from the dead, then whatever number you were that when you came into the kingdom of God, you also were added or placed as a son into his kingdom. You also had received the Spirit of Christ. Now, you didn't receive Christ's Spirit, but you received a Spirit just like his, because you're born of the Father. You're born from above. Remember, we covered that. Then we brought out through the process of our teaching that most of our teaching has been told us that it is the soul that has to be renewed. And because of a couple of verses that doesn't clarify soul or spirit, we just assume that it was our soul that had to be renewed. But when you look at scriptures, and we covered those scriptures where it literally defined what part of our mind has to be renewed, and that is our spiritual mind, for the sake of purging our soul. And there's a difference. There's a difference. And the soul that needs to be saved daily is not capable of delivering itself. And then if you get a hold of what I'm teaching you today, even those that are watching by television, if you get a hold of this, you're going to be more freer than you've ever been. And I never got a hold of this revelation until about 4 years ago. I realized that I was living more of my Christian walk out of my soul than I was my spirit, because I really never paid attention to some of the things that God was trying to get across to me. But you know how I began to discover the perfect will of God for my life? When I started fellowshipping with God. Isn't that a revelation? Now, you might be perfect in your fellowship with him, but I wasn't. And so until I begin to literally develop my fellowship with Him and bring it to a state of not perfectness, but to a place of maturity, I'm starting to get results not only over my life, but also when I stand in the gap for others. And I'm getting greater results in areas that I hadn't seen before. But I got news for you. If you think that renewing your mind is where you'll take your soul that needs to be saved and go ahead and make a decision out of that soul to just get rid of negative thoughts and put positive thoughts in it, I got news for you. That isn't going to do it. That isn't going to do it. It's not the displacing of information that renews your mind. It's the your spiritual mind getting the revelation and then purging the soul of that death. See, of that darkness. And we haven't really seen that because we've just taken for granted a lot of things that have been said without really paying attention to some of the terminologies. And when I started paying attention to some of the terminologies, that really never caught my attention until I started praying a lot. But I'll tell you, when you start running around with Jesus, Jesus puts you in a little more cutting edge of things. You know, He likes things right. He when He does anything, it's good. And you know, so when He does something in your life, it's good. You know, he really gets down to the nitty gritty of things in our life. And so I kept stumbling over the same old junk. But finally God said, you know something? You desire so much to drive that car, but the problem is the reason you're not going anywhere is you got to put a thing called petrol, gasoline in it. Wow. What a revelation. Well, it's the same thing with your mind. Your mind is not going to be renewed if you take your soul to do that. It takes a spiritual mind to purge the soul. Are you following me? It takes your spiritual mind to purge the soul. See, now, what we've been taught is when a man gets born from above, he's made a brand new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we've just taken for granted that the spirit doesn't need to be renewed. Then why do we run across scriptures where it says that you're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? That's what we brought out last week. What we says, it's not talking about some attitude or energy of your natural soul. It's talking about the part of your mind that is spirit, that is energized by the Holy Ghost. C.W. Vines even brought that revelation forward. And that stands to reason, because if we're left up to interpret God with our own understanding, we got a problem. God left it up to Himself to interpret Himself the way He wants to be interpreted. Thank you. And man has been trying to get to a place of interpreting God their way rather than letting God position them into a place where He can reveal Himself to them. See? And so we've been taught just because the Spirit's made brand new, it doesn't need renewing. But I got news for you. What part of my soul, which is the spirit part, what did He finally lose when He got born again? Did He lose His mind? No, He did not. The only thing that He knew was what the soul had fed Him. There was no separation between your spiritual mind and your natural mind. They weren't separated. They operated as one. But when God came down, and through the Word of God is the only way that it can happen, He took the sword, which is the Word of God, and separated the two. Glory to God. Why did He do that? To give you a chance to purge your soul for what it tries to exalt against God's knowledge. And see, and there's where the Holy Spirit gets into your spiritual part of your mind and begins to work in there to begin to bring forth truth in its understanding to then deliver the soul of its darkness. Boy, the Scripture is very clear on that. Boy, when I got a revelation to this, man, faith just began to really blossom in my heart of understanding. Praise God. Because I begin to realize now why there are so many of them Scriptures that talked about whenever the law of God begins to be written upon my heart, this soul of mine begins to cough up facts and questions all the time, until I found out in Romans 8, the reason is because your natural mind, which was created by your five senses, that natural mind doesn't know the things of God. It has built within it a hostility towards God, and the only way that you can get it purged is that you've got to have a far more exceeding understanding of God's knowledge in order to overpower that knowledge and put it out of business. Are you following what I'm saying? And boy, I'll tell you what, when 1 John, when I begin to see this stuff and begin to meditate out the book of 1 John, now that book is expanding in my heart constantly. I understand every verses now. And those that have taken my 1 John class, you know what I'm talking about. And then we've got these kind of teachings, these doctrines today that seemingly doesn't even let you know that you are a different person in God. You have a greater hope. Why? Because you don't have to listen to what you were first programmed by now. You got a higher programming. And that's why that nature of God, when it gets into your spirit, it has a power and it has an understanding and it has a resource now that is unlimited. And if you as a believer all your life, all you are ever taught is through the glory of men, what if they got a ceiling on their life? You know something? What if they've got a ceiling? You'll inherit their ceiling. If you get under a particular teacher that says, I don't believe in speaking in tongues, it's been done away with the last apostle. Guess what? You believe that, you'll never speak in tongues. And tongues is a language given to your spiritual man to communicate to God and pull out the mysteries. See, it's a tactic of the devil. My grandfather regretted his whole life and never taken into that step. Loved it in us three sons. Loved it in us. Last thing he communicated to me is he wished he had entered into that area. He felt that he was just a carnal believer his whole life. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm doing him a favor. I'm making up for him and me both. Praise God. But if you begin to understand this, this is going to set you free. Now, the soul has a mind of its own. The spirit has a mind not of its own. The reason that the spirit does not have a mind of its own is because your life, your soul, you're in charge of your life. God, in His sovereignty, gave you the right to choose. Now, the spiritual mind is either under the use of the soul or it's under the use of the Holy Spirit. And if your soul is going to be under the use of the Holy Spirit, then you've got to cloak your soul in humility and let your spiritual mind search out the deep things of God in order for you to develop. Well, Pastor, then, let's get to the part of what good is my soul then? Does it have any good? It certainly does. It's you. Without your soul, you don't exist. Luminiffy, you are a luminiffy in your soul. Isn't that right? Now, I got news for you. You know your body, your physical body? And that is not you. That is the tent that you live in. But Luminiffy is his soul. So I'd say that the soul has a good reason for being there, wouldn't you? Why? Because it's you. And so what we've been taught, because we get born again of the Spirit, then that which is in the natural, the soul and body, is no longer a part of us. It certainly is. Your soul is still a part of your spirit. It's not a part of your body when you die, but your soul is going to stay with your spirit. Are you following me? But within that soul, there's a part of Lou that's spirit, and that is what we call pneuma, or the spiritual part of our mind. So we have a natural and we have spiritual, and they're both made out of immaterial. In other words, no substance. Your soul was made out of no substance. Did you know that? That came from God. It started in Adam. It said that God breathed into him the breaths of life, plural. He breathed his soul and his spirit. He breathed that into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. But his soul was predominantly spiritual mind. The mind was the forefront. In other words, everything that he knew and communicated with God is because his spiritual mind. But Adam had a personality. Adam was named Adam. He was not named Jesus Christ. He was named Adam. Are you following me? And Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, I believe was the manifestation of God that visited with Adam. But you see, God wants Lou, but he wants Lou transformed into the image of the firstborn, which is Christ. But he still wants Lou. He still wants Lou's soul, but he wants Lou purged. And the only way that a man gets purged is he has to have his spiritual mind renewed. Now, we've been taught in mind renewal we can go to people of the world and become a success in life by listening to their good messages. Well, if that's the case, you don't need your Bible. Turn on your television set. You got Success in Life on every other channel at midnight, How to Make Bucks. But you ain't going to grow spiritually with them nuts. But I got news for you. When Lou hooked up with God, he got born again. What happened? His spirit got light. Because John chapter 1 verse 4 says, and the light is the life of men. Meaning, this is a past tense verse, meaning Jesus already died and resurrected, and now men were getting born again, and these men were getting born again of that light. And over there in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4, chapter 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit, wrong, the fruit of the light. The life. The light. The life. And so when my spirit got emanated with his nature, it was called light. And the minute my spiritual man got born again, it got lit up. For the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And so my spirit got lit up. And the minute it got lit up, it was separated from my natural mind and my body and what it said and my natural mind, what it was programmed into. And all of a sudden, just because it was light, it shed light on all the darkness that was in my soul. But now my spiritual mind is crying out, then what do I need to know to deliver myself? To deliver myself. And all we've looked at the glory of men to do it. Well, I'll tell you what, you look at a man's glory to give you your information. You're looking at somebody else other than the Holy Ghost. And so, anymore, I thank God that he has given me some insight as to who to listen to and who not to. And we're to be concerned about who we listen to and who not to. Now, the soul's role in renewal is this. He is the part of the mind that is responsible for meditation. Psalms 1:2 and Joshua 1:8 is very clearly understood that you are to meditate in the Word day and night. God told Joshua that you shall meditate in it day and night. Now listen to me. My lexicon dictionary of the English language for the word meditate brought this out. To reflect deeply upon, to spend time in the spiritual exercise of thinking about some religious theme, to contemplate, or to roll over in the mind. W. E. Vines adds to this that the word for meditate also literally involved to speak or say. Now, I begin to get an understanding that I hadn't seen before, but the word meditate is another term for assimilate. Matter of fact, assimilate is another term for meditation. It means to absorb into. And in this case, it means to absorb into the body and the mind. The systems by food or knowledge to make one's own. That's the part the soul is only allowed to do by God's Word. Your soul is not called to interpret God or His Word. Your spirit is called to receive the interpretation of Him. It means to get into a place to be revealed by Revelation 2. Proverbs 20:27 says, it is the spirit of man that is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You see, the soul can only search out God through what it sees out here, or what it understands in the conscious mind. But when you get into God, He gets into your spirit, and you start searching out the kingdom of God within you. What God has already done to you or for you. That's why it says, when you get born from above, your old life is mox nix. It means nothing to God no more. It's finished. It's over. It's like a pfft. And you go running around in it trying to figure it out, you just get as dumber as dumb can dumb get. Because the soul is crazy. It don't know how to deliver itself. It coughs up some kind of theology or some kind of doctrine to keep you strapped. But James says, when you receive with meekness the implanted word, that which was already done to you, it has the power, glory to God, to infuse itself to you and set you free from what your soul has already told you. Now, Paul makes a quote out of 2 Corinthians 4:13. I believe, therefore I spoke. I thought it was very interesting. When I went over into Psalms 116, I read that whole psalm. I went into shock. Because there's one verse there that says, precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. I've quoted that at funerals. God said, well, it is referring to a verse that's good for a funeral, but the wrong kind. Now, why did Paul make a quote out of 2 Corinthians 4:13 from that psalm? The verse was, I think it was verse 8, I believe, therefore I spoke. Paul, or David, is giving thanksgiving to God for deliverance. David is saying, thanks, God, for the deliverance of my soul from death. Verse 15, when it talks about death ceasing to exist in his soul, the death of his saints, what he was talking about is that when he was making a cry in that Psalms, he was crying out to God to deliver his soul. Because his soul was being constantly affected, not only by this world, but the things that people were saying to him. And he said, one day God entered in and delivered his soul. So, precious in the sight of God is when his saints are delivered in death. What he was referring to, the death of, that was keeping him bound up in the realm of that soul. Now, I got news for you. When you sit there and you tell me that what I'm saying is crazy, then what you're doing is you're denying the fact that, God's Holy Spirit has been given to you as a spirit of truth. And He's the only one that can interpret God. But you have to do something with yourself in order to get God to bring interpretation to your spiritual mind to deliver your natural mind. And that's why we come up with so many of these stupid, dumb doctrines that we've got nowadays. You start listening to them, what good did Jesus really do to come in the first place? If you have no victory in your life, you're just no different. Some of these doctrines paint you no different than an Old Testament believer. I'll tell you what God did. He shut the door at the book of Malachi. He shut the door and you entered into a New Testament, brothers and sisters. You have a different life altogether. You see, they could only see the author of their faith. We could see the author and finisher of our faith. We got to get into the New Testament and get our understanding out of it. Then when we go back into the Old Testament, we know how to think properly. You say, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians, or no, I'm sorry. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. And we're not going to try to cover this whole parable, but we're going to cover this parable before we're through with this series. But Mark 4, we're going to bring out the revelation of it in a way that you probably never heard of it in your life. And man, when I got the revelation of this thing, man, I'll tell you what, it set my heart free. Now, I want you to notice a statement that Jesus quotes out of the Old Testament. He brings it in the new, and look at verse 12 of Mark 4. I'm sorry, let's go to verse 11. And he said unto them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now here's that word mysteries again. Whenever this word mysteries is used, it means the hidden secrets of truth. The hidden secrets of truth. Of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. All things come in parables to those that are outside. Now notice what he says about things coming in parables. So that, now look at this confession Jesus gives us. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Wow. Thanks a lot, Jesus. You mean to tell me you're giving it to them parables because you don't want this to take place in our life? You know why he said that? You know why he made that quote, people? Because he has not left the kingdom of God for man's soul to interpret. He said, then that way, if that was the case, then man could bring about the kingdom of God apart from the issue of their own heart. And they'd be no better off than somebody trying to keep the law. See, because God wants truth in your inward parts. He wants your heart with truth. He hasn't designed you to sit there and try to figure out some mechanical way of doing something just to do it, just so you earn favor with somebody. You've already earned favor with God. He's blessed you with everything. In heavenly places. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm not going to Malachi anymore to go throw my money at that stupid window when I've inherited the entire kingdom of God freely. Praise God. I don't have to buy God at all. Hallelujah. Freely you've received, freely give. Hallelujah. Freely give. Hallelujah. Well, if God wants something of yours, He'd like you to give it to Him freely. Not some bargain on it. You know what I mean? Pay me and I'll bless you. Give me a break. Hallelujah. Now notice. We will be quitting here in just a minute. Notice what he says here. He says, he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. This word mysteries is very interesting. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And let's go to verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. In other words, speak forth the mind and counsel of God in definable terms, by the way. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. And notice it's a small s. It is should have been translated small s. Matter of fact, it's a small s in translation throughout my Bible here. And the reason is because it's your spirit that speaks the mysteries of God. Now, how can your spirit speak the mysteries of God with a language that has been given to you apart from your understanding, apart from your soul? Somebody says, well, why get tongues if you don't understand what you're saying? The greatest miracle God ever gave you. A language that is undefiled and pure that you don't understand. All you have to do is be obedient and speak it. And let God do the work on the inside of you to bring forth the reason that the language was given to you. So many people argue about tongues. You want to know why? That's the devil hates tongues. Why? There isn't any language he doesn't know. There isn't any language barrier that he is not a... He's an angel. He even knows the tongues of angels. Here's the problem God has with Christians speaking in tongues. He can hear what they're saying to God, the very thing that they need from God, and there's no way of him stopping it except come to you and try to indoctrinate you into not speaking in that language. That's all. Because he knows when that language is going directly to God, according to 1 Corinthians 14, you are getting a divine language that is undefiled that God gave you so you could talk to him unhindered by your own understanding that he works through. Now what good does it do even if he heard the language? It puts him in more torment because he can't stop the man who gives the answer, and it's God. So he told me every time you speak in tongues, the devil hears it, he goes crazy. Because he got such the perfect language you're talking to God with, he hates that. He'd rather have you talk to God in your own understanding because it's so limited as to revealing who God is. Somebody told me, or I got this book, called Binding the Strong Man. And I couldn't believe it. Satan got into his head before he even got the book done. And he says, the strong man's the devil. The strong man in light of the text is you, not the devil. And so he talks about how the strong man gets bound up to steal a guy's goods to the house. He shuts him off from the Holy Ghost. See, that's what Jesus was saying. He says Satan could come in and take your house. He could take everything. He could take the way you think. He could take the way you do. He could take the way you talk. He could take the way you walk. As long as it is through your natural understanding. You say, why? Because he will convince you that the works of God are the devil. And the works of the devil are of God. That's how crazy the soul is. It don't know how to make a distinction. And that's why he says, he that speaks against the Holy Ghost, blasphemy, speaks against the Holy Ghost. He says, when you speak against the operation of the Holy Ghost, he says, you're going to be held eternally responsible for the effect that that will cause. Jesus was in essence saying, before he gets to Mark 4, he says, open up and let the Holy Ghost reveal to you what is of God, so that he won't bind up the strong man that you are. See, Satan wants to steal your goods. He wants to come and rob and steal and kill and destroy your life. Hallelujah. And he can do that as long as you're operating out of your not. Did you get something here today? We'll stop there. And then we're going in. Next Sunday, we're going into Mark 4. I'm going to break that whole parable down. And people, I'm going to tell you, you're going to go shouting. Going to set you free. Going to set you free. You're going to know what being changed from glory to glory is all about. You're going to know what the spirit of liberty or free face to face. You know what Christians are trying to do? They're trying to please God by going face to face with their old life. My Bible doesn't have a scripture in there that says look face to face in your own life. Matter of fact, it says when you look into a natural mirror and see the natural man, he goes away and forgets what kind of an idiot he is. But when you look into the perfect law of liberty, what you are in Christ Jesus, you look on the inside of you, and you will come face to face with the Spirit of Christ. Glory of God on the inside of you, and that's what will change you. Glory. That's what will change you into that glory. Well, I'll tell you, the glory of men ain't going to do it. If you ever do something because I said it, you're still deceived. You just got to take and hear what I said, and then look at the Word of God and let the Holy Ghost do the rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free from myself. I'm free from myself. Does that make sense to you? I'm free from myself. Not to a religious man, he go. Why? He's trying to enter into the kingdom of heaven with himself. I could just see it. Here we enter into heaven. Here I am, Lord. I made it. I know. What do you mean by that, Lord? The work is going to just begin. We got to purge that soul. Now your soul will either be purged here for your reward, or it'll get purged there with no reward. Why? Because he wants you to do it by choice. Not because you have to. Can you imagine getting purged up there? Simply because we ain't going to live with the way you live down here. You ain't going to live that way up there. The Bible always tells you, you know, adulterers, fornicators. Some Christians don't know that. Adulterers and fornicators won't inhabit the kingdom of God. Some Christians don't know that. Isn't that amazing? Oh, well, anyway, forgive me. far be it for me to start getting condemnation flowing here on sin, you know. Gosh. But somehow I might as well tell you, you ain't going to perform it there. There ain't going to be no internet up there for you to plug into the wrong stuff. And they ain't going to find that circuitry up there. And guess what? When you go up there and it's in you, it'll get de-circuitried. They'll put you in the wall socket like I do my cell phone. You put it in this wall socket the first 18 hours, you have to charge it with this first 18 hours charging thing. And it has to be house electricity, you know. And so that you can use it. I could see me getting up there and God grabs me and plugs me into some wall. Come on. 18 years and we can pull them out. Why? Oh, we're recharging this one. We had to deprogram his entire soul. Voop, voop. And plug him in there and he'll get charged up and he'll be used for the kingdom of God. 18,000. Well, I don't know how true this is, but there's teachings now coming out that the outer darkness is referring to a place in heaven where saints go for the purging of their soul. And one brother had said that that when they go through that process of purging, it's almost equal to the time that they were here on this earth. Which I thought was pretty interesting, of the power that's in the soul. Man, can you imagine that? Live 120 years here and you get up there and you're just carnal flesh believer. Just flat carnal. You're 120 years into that wall socket. Now, I'm not saying that's true or not, but I thought that was a little frightening to me, you know. For a moment there. I don't even know I'm not preaching this as gospel. Praise God. And I don't care what's going to happen on the other side. I care what I'm responsible for on this side. Amen. Oh, don't take my tongues from me. I'll tell you what, every morning I get up, man. Oh, don't take my tongues from me. I love to just give my spirit to God in that language. I don't care. Praise God, my brain doesn't understand it. Have you ever noticed that when you get in prayer and start praying in tongues, how your mind wanders all over the creation? It takes a trip to Florida, and it comes back, and it goes on over to Alaska. It comes back, and it gets into guns, and it comes back, and it gets over here into worry and frustration and fretting. And all the time, your spirit's still plugged into God. Now, when I get into worship, my spirit don't, my mind doesn't wander all around. I won't let it. I'll keep my soul focused. No, you will worship God today. I don't want to. Shut up. You will worship. I don't want to. I'm really depressed. I don't feel good. Shut up. I'm going to start worshiping God. Father, I worship you. I praise you. I thank you for everything that I am in Christ Jesus. Without him, I can do nothing. But because, according to the power that is at work within my inner man, of the Holy Ghost energizing my inner man, I thank you, Father, and I praise you that I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead and seated him in heavenly places, and I've become a joint heir with him. I'm seated in heavenly places. I don't have to put up with that kind of lifestyle any longer. I don't have to walk that way anymore. I don't have to get under the dominion and torment because you said I've been delivered from the power of sin. It, sin has no more dominion over me. And if it takes dominion over it, it's because I allow it. And I'm not going to allow it because I'm praying and giving my spirit to you. And the answer will come back and the strength will come back and I will be free. Hallelujah. Working that thing. Hallelujah. And if my body keeps giving me too much trouble, I'll fast that thing. I'll starve it. And not just food. I'll shut its starvation down in its soul. Soul food. You know what I mean? It likes to watch and do and say certain things. Shut it down too. Boy, that really drives him crazy. Why? He's left out of the picture. You see. I'll tell you, we're headed for the greatest victory that the church has known if this information keeps getting out. Yeah, boy, when I found out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that one verse there that he that searches out God searches the deep things of God. When I found out that was my spirit searching the deep things, that so set me free. I thought it was the Holy Ghost doing it for me. The Holy Ghost can't do nothing unless you give him something to, for some reason, and your spirit has to search out God for the Holy Ghost to give it any answer. If it was the Holy Ghost searching out, we'd all be spiritual giants right now, because the Holy Ghost ain't going to put up with what you put up with. You see, but the Holy Ghost has to work with you. See, it's up to you to search out the deep things of God. And besides, why is the Holy Ghost searching out the deep things of himself? Yeah, why did Paul give us a scripture? It's the Holy Ghost that searches out all the deep things of God. Well, that leads me to believe, well, what didn't the Holy Ghost know? It's because of how we've been taught, you see. Thank God the glory of men don't teach me no more. The Holy Ghost is going to be my teacher. So that when I give you something, whether you agree with it or not, you're the one's got to live with it. Hallelujah. It'll cause you to go and depend more on God for what's right from wrong. Hallelujah. I'll never forget there was a time when I'd go to one meeting, they'd say one thing, go to another meeting, they'd say something else. And I'd get in between the two meetings and say, what is truth? One says this and the other one says this. I'm going nuts. Matter of fact, we had a meeting with Rick Renner here. He was talking about spiritual warfare. And they had a meeting down the church down the way here. And they had a guy down there speaking on spiritual warfare, and this lady was bouncing back and forth between the two meetings. She finally come over here and started crying, and Rick slapped and said, I don't know which one of you to believe. They're saying this over there, and you're saying this over here, and you're refuting what he's saying, he's refuting what you're saying. Who's right? Rick says, I don't know. And he walked off. Like, you figure it out. That leaves people frustrated. But you know what? There's something you and I got that nobody else can say. We each got a personal invitation to know by the Holy Ghost. I know what it's like to get your mentors knocked off their high horse. I broke the entire book of 1 John and I went back to my favorite mentor. Got his tapes on 1 John, and I cried for about 3 days because he could no longer teach me. That dethroned my knight on shining armor. And I said, God, what's this going to do? He says, God, it's going to cause you to rely more upon the Holy Ghost. Oh, but I don't know that voice that well. Well, all of us feel that way. You know what I mean? But don't worry, God will prove it out. He will prove it out. Amen. Did you get something here this morning? Stand up, everybody.